with Roger Woodward. Last week I concluded with the story of the only interaction I have ever had with a railway train that I haven't enjoyed. Now, back to my great railway journeys. The first of these was crossing Australia in 1961 from Perth to Canberra, where I was to take up my studies at the Australian Forestry School. There were two problems ahead of us. The first was that we were travelling second class. This was because the government was paying for the tickets and they were inherently mean. Second class meant sitting up all the way, including during the hours of sleep. The second problem was that in 1961, it was before the unification of the Australian railway system, and a farcical situation existed in which the states all had different railway gauges. We had learnt about this in primary school geography classes, but had no conception of what it actually meant, at least not in terms of impact on the long-distance traveller crossing from one railway jurisdiction to another over and again as the journey progressed. The odyssey ahead was simply unimaginable. We left Perth on one of the premier trains of the West Australian Government Railways. It was hauled by a mighty steam locomotive, glimpses of which we had seen up ahead on the station before departure, and then on curves in the line as we climbed up from the coastal plain. We travelled all night, sitting up, and arrived at Kalgoorlie in the eastern goldfields the following morning. There we transferred to the Commonwealth of Australia Railways, the Trans-Australia, hauled by a diesel, which departed later that morning and took 2 days to reach Port Augusta in South Australia. At Port Augusta, we walked across the platform and entered one of the superb trains of the South Australian Government Railway. This was one of the finest railways I ever knew, steam-hauled and on a wide track, very swift and comfortable. It took us on a smooth ride down to Adelaide. There we transhipped immediately to another train on the Victorian gauge, which took us to Melbourne. Again an overnight ride, again sitting up. At Spencer Street Station in Melbourne, we boarded a Victorian Railways train, which took us to Albury on the New South Wales border, where we crossed over the platform and boarded a New South Wales Government Railways train, also steam-hauled, which took us to an obscure station at Goulburn, there being no direct railway line to Canberra. At Goulburn, we walked across the rails to board yet another train, and eventually this disgorged us at what appeared to be a tiny country siding, but which turned out to be Canberra. The journey had taken 5 days and involved changing trains 6 times. Amazingly, and to the eternal credit of the Australian railway man, our luggage arrived at the same place as we did, and at the same time. Despite everything, the trip had many highlights, and we enjoyed ourselves enormously. The ever-changing landscape was unendingly fascinating and very beautiful, especially the vastness of the Nullarbor and glimpses of the Flinders Ranges in South Australia. On the first night out of Perth, we had also a grandstand view of the big bushfires burning in the Darling Ranges. In those days, the train climbed up the Scarp through John Forest National Park and then ran east through Mahogany Creek, Mundaring, Chidlow's, Baker's Hill and Spencer's Brook. As we cut through the northern Jarrah Forest, way to the north, the whole country was on fire, and we stood for a while on the little platform at the rear of the guards van to watch it. I found out later that this became known as the Gidgee-Ganup Fire and was the subject of a royal commission. By the time we left Albury for the penultimate leg to Yass, we were feeling grubby and tired. At this stage, my friend George performed one of his small acts of genius. Using a teaspoon he had purloined from the dining car, he picked the lock on the doors of an empty first-class carriage and we moved in. But just as we were settling back to enjoy the glorious luxury of a hot shower and a bed, the conductor arrived and began making deeply threatening noises. It appeared for a while that we would be leaving the train and going straight to jail at the next station. But then in mid-harangue he paused. "Of course, I'll let you stay here if you give me 10 shillings, he said. This was a great deal of money to us in those days that we coughed up, genuinely believing that he was going to cut off our forestry careers before they had really commenced if we failed to pay. The good thing about that 5-day railway journey from Perth to Canberra is that I can always think back to it when I'm feeling grumpy over a 2-hour delay of a 4-hour flight over the same distance.